We're not going to go in a lot of detail, but I want you to at least know the main, kind of like the main points of the letters. All right, what is it all about? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They entitled this lesson, Walking in the Light. Another little quick, neat trivia question. And I asked some students this one time, and not many got it right. And now you may, because I've said this. But when you consider how many letters or books of the New Testament did John write, the answer is 5. Okay, you've got, we call it the Gospel according to John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, they write from a similar perspective. John writes a more theological perspective. So you got John, the gospel he wrote. You've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the three letters. And then you got the book of Revelation. Okay, this is all the same John, the apostle, that wrote these different books. Some believe that John wrote his gospel around, like maybe around the year 75. So like AD 75. And then wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John a few years after that. And then did not write Revelation to the very end of his life, because now he's been banished, right, in exile on the island of Patmos, and then receives a vision. He's a very old man, probably about to die. So that's probably about the year, 90-ish, something like that, when he writes Revelation. And then what's interesting is, when you go into early church history, so once we close the book of Revelation, the last apostle dies, which is John. There's no more apostolic writing. There's no more New Testament. You can never add to the Bible at that point. There's no more apostles left once John dies. But it's believed that John actually lived a very long life. Because even into the second century, so like in the 100s, as you cross from the book of Revelation, people were still talking about John and his influence and his writings. So remember, I can't put my hand on the verse right now, but remember where Jesus kind of predicted that John was going to live a long life? And I don't remember all the way it's written, but Jesus makes some comment about John not dying or something like that. And the other apostles say, well, what do you mean he's not going to die? He's like, well, I'm not meaning it that way, but like, almost like he's going to live a lot longer life. Like, even if I didn't want him to die, what's that to you? You just do your work kind of thing. It's a part of Jesus' teaching there. So even Jesus made it sound like John is going to have an extra long life on the earth. And right to the end, he is still producing inspired scripture that they're talking about as you get into the second century. So John's got 5 books that have been preserved and recognized as canonical in your Bible. And these 3, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, are kind of clustered together because they're very similar in how how they're written. So what is it all about? If you look in that box, we'll start looking through what it says here. Through these 3 letters, John shared wisdom gleaned from many years of experience. Remember, he lived a very long time. Notice how simple and clear the letters are. John summarized the Christian life and told how we can walk closer with God. Also, I meant to share too with this. John spent the end of his life most likely in the city called Ephesus. Because remember, John probably was kind of like the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And then when he is in exile on Patmos, he can probably look across the way and see home and see Ephesus out there. So the end of his life, he's probably in Ephesus, many years of experience. Now, in this next paragraph, they're going to give you a super brief summary of each letter and kind of where the letter is going. So what I did in my book, I circled where it talks about 1 John, and then the second letter, and the third letter to kind of keep it straight. So 1 John was written to a church, or maybe churches, if it's a circular letter, in Asia Minor. So that's going to be that southern part of like where all the 7 churches of Revelation are in Asia Minor. And it was circulated among these churches and became popular reading material for worship services. So 1 John covers a little more material. You've got about 5 chapters in that short letter. compared to 2 John, 3 John are really short. There's one chapter apiece. So 1 John written to church or churches, and you'll see what it's about here in a minute as he addresses concerns in their services. Now, the second letter was directed to a specific church that John hoped to visit soon, and we'll see that when we get to it. But what's interesting with the second letter, he starts that letter and addresses that church as the elect lady. And if you look real quick at 2 John, when he writes this, when he says, I am the elder, okay, the pastor, I'm John, writing to the chosen lady or the elect lady and her children. It's hard to know, is John writing to a specific lady in the church, or is he addressing the church as, like, just feminine pronoun there? Which most believe he's addressing the entire church and calling her a chosen lady, okay, elect lady. So probably writing to a specific church. Now, the third letter is written to a guy named Gaius, and he is a close friend of John. So in that letter, he starts off and says, this is now the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So first letter written to churches, probably in Asia Minor. Second letter to a specific church that he calls chosen lady. Third letter to an individual within one of the churches that's simply named Gaius. Appears to be a close friend of John since he calls him a beloved Gaius. So Gaius, a close friend of John, receives a third letter. He probably lived in a city not far from Ephesus because John also in that letter said, I plan to visit you soon. Now, let me give you something else with these. How many of you, if you were here, you may remember, but we did a Wednesday night study in 2 John and 3 John. And it was, I looked it up today, believe it or not, it was in 2018 and 2019 on Wednesday nights. We did 2 John, I think, through 2018 and did 3 John through 2019. So if you were here, what is that now? 7, 8, 9, whatever years ago. Wow. How can it be that long ago? 8 years ago? 7, 8 years ago? If you were here then, you may recall that we went through 2 and 3 John. And I told you something in 2 and 3 John that helps trying to keep them straight. It's hard with some of these short letters knowing, kind of keeping straight what they're doing, what they're talking about. So let me do this real quick, and then you'll kind of see this as we go as well. So in 2 John, there is a warning. This is the main reason he wrote this. There is a warning regarding welcoming false teachers in the church. Now, remember that what we said 8 or 9, whatever years ago it's been, is you've got traveling teachers. They're going from church to church to encourage people to exercise their spiritual gifts. But not all of them are teaching truth. So what John does in the second letter, he warns this specific church, remember the elect lady, chosen lady, he warns her, be very, very careful who you welcome into the church. Because not every person claiming on their business card that they are a Christian or a Christian prophet or teacher, not every person with that on their business card is really teaching the truth. So in 2 John, there is a warning regarding false teachers. Now, 3 John is the exact opposite. In 3 John, when he writes to his friend Gaius, and there it is an encouragement to accept true teachers. So this helps me a lot trying to keep 2 and 3 John straight. 2 John, there's a warning. Church, be very, very careful who you let come into the fellowship and who you let teach in the church. 3 John, there is encouragement. Now, when a faithful teacher comes to your church, make sure you support them and give them the right hand of fellowship. Well, that's kind of what he's saying. So as you go through these letters, if you think about it, kind of keep these themes in mind, it will help you understand more of why John writes what he writes. Okay, 1 John is more general instruction to worship. He's going to emphasize some themes. Second John to a specific church, and y'all be careful. Don't you let them come in. Don't you take up an offering for a false teacher. Third John, now when they come around, yes, take up an offering. Support their ministry. Right? Help them as they go from church to church as they teach. So John, end of his life, end of the first century, is trying to give some very practical information to the churches. Okay? That's where we're at with these three letters. Now, anything in that little introduction that you want to point out, ask about, share about? I like these letters because so few people know why they're in the Bible. I love going through books that nobody knows anything about. And that's where these are for a lot of people. So here we go. At the bottom of that box, in all three letters, you're going to find three key themes. So let's put these up here just really quick. And I want to come back and look through some verses and show you how they work. If somebody was to ask you in these three little letters, what are the primary words that are repeated over and over again? Three words should scream in your face. And here they are: truth, obedience, and love. You read through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, over and over, he's going to emphasize truth, make sure you obey, do what God says, and make sure there's love for the fellow, for brother. So let's look at some examples just to prove it to you. And they've got these listed in your book. So since these letters are really close together and tight, I just want to walk through these really, really quickly and show you how it looks. All right, look in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 6. And now we're looking for how John emphasizes truth. Okay, here's what John says to the churches there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and you're not practicing the truth. Now look in 2 John. Skip over a few pages there. And this is going to be in verses 1 and 2. All right, this is the elder. This is John writing to the church called the Chosen Lady and to her children. Now look what he does here. Whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. And they didn't mark the rest of this, but in verse 3, at the end of that verse, it also talks about in truth and love. In verse 4, he says, I was glad to find some of your children there in the church walking in truth. Okay, you see, over and over, John emphasizes truth. In 3 John, one page over, verses 3 and 4. Actually, even in verse 1, he says he loves Gaius. He loves him in truth. In verse 3, I was glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. In verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In verse 8, therefore we ought to support such faithful teachers that we may be fellow workers with the truth. In verse 12, Demetrius has received a good testimony. He's a good teacher from everyone and from the truth itself. Here's what I'm trying to say. You cannot read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and not discover the importance he places on truth. Now, who or what is he writing to? To the church. Except for Gaius, more personal, but he's emphasizing for the church the importance of truth. That's theme number one. Now, look at theme number two, obedience. Go back again to 1 John, and I want you to see what he does with this. In chapter 2, let's see, about verse 3. John says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we what? If we keep his commandments. That is called obedience. The one who says, I have come to know him, I'm a saved person, but if you do not keep his commandments, there's the obedience part, you are a liar, and the truth, there's the word truth again, is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, that is obedience, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner, that's obedience, as he walked. Okay? Emphasizing, you can claim something, but your life needs to back that up. Now, who else in the New Testament also emphasized, don't just say you believe, I need to see that you believe? Book of James, right? faith without evidence is dead. Faith without works and evidence is dead. Okay, John does the same thing with obedience. Now look at 2 John, just giving examples. And verse 6, obedience. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Okay, that's the obedience part. And this is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. That's obedience. In 3 John, and verse 11, obedience. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good, that's obedience, is of God. And the one who does evil, that's disobedience, has not seen God. So again, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, truth. Number 2, obedience. And while I'm on a roll, let me do number 3, and then we'll come up for air, and we can ask questions and add some. Number 3 is love, and you've already seen this in some of the verses we've read. So now back in 1st John, chapter 3. And what do they mark here? Verse 11. This is the message which you have heard from the beginning. Here it is, that we should love one another. And if you want to keep marking this as we are going, in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. In verse 16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how in the world does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Over and over you find again the emphasis on love. 2 John. In verse 6, we just read this a minute ago. And this is love. There's your key word, that we walk according to His commandment with the obedience. And then in 3 John, in the very first verse, not quite as strong as we've been looking at, but he does say here that this is John the elder writing to the beloved Gaius. So in all three letters, you find three main themes: truth, obedience, and love. Now, if you take out his emphasis on truth, obedience, and love, you've pretty much gutted 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So three themes. You read through the letters. He's writing to churches in 1st John. He's warning against accepting and supporting false teachers in 2nd John. He is encouraging them to support true teachers in 3rd John. And through it all, he says, be careful with truth. Watch those who claim to be following God but don't obey Him. And number 3, make sure there is love of the brethren, because love is of God, right? Those are the main points in the letters. And I raced through that as quickly as I could. So give me anything that stands out, you want to point out, ask about, you like about that, something you noticed unique in there. Y'all need to talk so I can breathe a little bit. So look at what's going to happen now. The entire rest of this lesson, look at the headings. They're going to take each of these themes and they're going to pull out of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John specific teachings about truth, about obedience, and then about love. Okay, so theme number 1, walking in the truth. Theme number 2, walking the way Jesus walked. Theme number 3 is walking in love. So we'll start in this a little bit tonight. But basically what we're going to do is go through these three themes and pull them out of these three letters as we go. Anything you want to ask or share before we start looking into this first theme kind of quickly? Okay, theme number 1, walking in the truth. We've got a few minutes to introduce this, and this is going to be a good place to start. Okay, after reading these verses that are down below, answer the following questions. So here's a good question. I like this. Where did John get his truth? And I'm putting the emphasis on his truth. And I'm going to say the same thing for us today. Truth is a truth is a difficult concept because our world now doesn't accept truth. And so we have turned into what's called a postmodern mindset where there's no absolute truth. It's whatever you think is right for you and somebody else thinks is right for them, and there's no source for truth. So it's a good question. Where did John get his truth? And I think that's a good question for each of us. All right, you're claiming you're right. Where are you getting that from? See, that's what when I have opportunity to talk to somebody who doesn't believe, like, you know, biblical teaching, I say, well, like, this is, I just want to know this. Like, okay, what is the foundation of which you believe? That's all I'm asking. And most of them can't answer that question. Like, well, that's just the way I've always believed. Okay? Well, that's the way I was brought up. Okay, but that's not what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. What is the foundation for what you believe? What are you basing your belief system on? And very few people can answer that question because they haven't really thought through it. They're just going by what a professor taught them, or their parents taught them, or somebody, a friend taught them. They haven't done it, the work for themselves. This is a good question. John, where are you getting your truth? Like, where are you getting your belief system? Okay, here's John's answer. Here's John's answer. If you look in the first few verses of the first letter, John's answer to summarize, I got my truth, I think Wayne just said this, I got my truth from Jesus. Now, but John means something different when he says that than most of us mean when we say that. And here's the reason. John literally saw, walked with, heard, and touched the Son of God. So John's like, if you were to question where I'm getting my truth from, I'm going to tell you exactly. I saw him. I heard him. I walked with him. So look how he words it in the first few verses. All right, here's how John starts first letter. And this is a really good way of starting this. Okay, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Now look, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. That's where I'm getting my truth. An eyewitness, right? I was there. I saw him. I heard him. I watched him heal. That's where I'm getting my truth. We proclaim that to you also, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice how John unpacks this. Just think through it now and don't read it too quickly. What was from the beginning? In other words, the very first day Jesus made a public appearance as, like, the Messiah, John says, we were there, right? He starts his public ministry at about age 30, I think. And from the very beginning, what does he do? He chooses 12 to walk with him and to be witnesses of everything he taught, everything he did, and also to be witnesses of the fact that the tomb was empty. These had to be eyewitnesses to be an apostle in that way. So John says, we were there from the beginning. Like from the year, we'll say 30, when he made his public appearance, and when he was baptized, and when he chose disciples, and when he started teaching, look, from the beginning, we have heard straight from him. We have seen it with our own eyes. We actually beheld, our hands have handled. Now look what he says concerning the word of life. Neat connection here. Notice in my Bible they capitalize the word word. Does everybody else's do that? In verse 1, capitalize the word word. Alright. So, who's writing this letter? John. Okay, who wrote the gospel? We call John. The same John. What does John say at the start of his gospel? Ooh. So notice what John does. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same guy writing uses the term Word. In Greek it's the word logos to describe the Son of God. In the Gospel he refers to Jesus as the Word, and now he writes this letter and says, listen, it's the same one I'm talking about. We saw him, we heard him, we watched him, and I'm talking about the Word of life. Right? Okay, this is the written word Jesus is the living word. Concerning that living word, we saw him, we heard him. The life was manifested when he became flesh. We've seen, we bear witness, we've proclaimed to you everything that we've heard from him. And what we have seen and heard proclaim that you also, basically he becomes an evangelist in verse 3. And what we've heard, we proclaim to you, so you also can be saved. I just paraphrase that. Remember John says at the end of his gospel, no, he says it in this letter, that everything I'm writing is so that you may know you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to think so. In fact, I'll show you. Look in verse chapter 5, verse 13. That's where you find that message. If you ever meet somebody and they're like, how can you know that you're saved? Can you know you're saved? Okay, here's what John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know you have eternal life. There's no guessing here. There's no hoping so. This is what John says. We've beheld him. We heard him. We saw him. We watched him. We proclaim that to you so you can know that you've got eternal life. This is how John starts a letter. So John, where are you getting your truth? What you're teaching, what you believe, where are you getting it? He said, I'm getting it straight from an eyewitness account and experience as Jesus walked the earth. That's where I'm getting it. Now, when they ask us today, obviously we get it from the Bible, but for a lot of people, they don't believe the Bible. So I'm like, I see we've got some differences here. But again, my question is, for me, I base what I believe on something that's been here for a very, 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 very long time. An anvil that has worn out many a hammer, right? A lot of attacks, and yet it still stands. So, and that's fine if you don't believe it. Here's my question for you. All right, what are you basing your beliefs on? I mean, you found a better foundation then. What are you basing your beliefs on? And most people can't answer that question.
Well, where my brain goes on that is that John is not only an eyewitness, but he's credible because he was familiar. Because Jesus was rabbi, right? So like the Jewish thing. So, but he was a fisherman, right? James and John, sons of Zebedee. That's the same John. Am I correct? No. I'm just saying, like,
I think yes.
Because there were references and scriptures that they had to then run Jesus, like prophecies and things to run Jesus, what they were seeing with their eyeballs through this filter of biblical reference, even then at the time. So I think too that would establish like the desire to say, hey,
yeah.
I was familiar with the scriptures at the time that he came, and I watched him come.
Yeah, I do not think John or any of the others would say it was just a blind faith. No. Yeah. It was based on already scripture, like religious teaching, and we've seen him come fulfill that.
Because it wasn't like a cult leader
that
just was super charismatic.
Not in a vacuum.
Right.
All publicly done. Yeah. Yep.
It was run through the word that always was, that they had access to. I think that kind of establishes a next level credibility that gives, certainly for me, a solid hope of, you know, like of trust.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else on that before we go?
He said it, he got his truth from Jesus. Jesus said that he is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the eyewitness of that, I mean, you've seen it. And so you're going to believe that when Jesus says, I am truth, that you're going to believe that. And just like today, when people are like, well, where do you get your truth from? It's like, with Jesus. Yeah, it's in the Bible, but I get it from Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. And mm-hmm. you have not only the Bible, but historical backing that up. History backing that up. These are real people, real times, real events. History has proved it time and time over again. And so it's like, that is truth right there. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
The impact that John made into the second and third century. I mean, John had students he taught and equipped as church leaders. So none of this is in a vacuum. It's all historical stuff, right? I mean, it's just there. But so few people have actually studied it. And they don't even know why they believe what they believe. But sometimes Christians don't either. That's a problem.